Okay. I apologize. The reason I sent out the Makoros a few minutes late on Tuesday morning after 9 o'clock was because I happened to be looking at the Simon Membeis, I think, of the Afike Yam, which talks about our sugya, and he pointed out this great Mishnah Melech in Karen Ora, which I couldn't resist adding to the Makoros sheet. So before we go on, remember we had a chakira whether in the end, bottom line, you know, why is there why doesn't the Ones marry Psulos? So we said according to the Ra'ah and the Ritva and Tosfos first answer, it's just a Svara. Right? It's not a drasha, we'll see Elisha. Either is no drasha, the Ritva, according to Ra'ah, or we can get that later. Or the drasha is Midaita, but has nothing directly to do with Psulos. But, we pointed out, according to the Tosfos, other Deos, thank you. According to the other Deos in Tosfos, and the Ramban, and the Rashba, I don't remember exactly which names he had on the board, and clearly the Rambam, however he held, then it's a drasha of Isha Haru'uyavo. And Rav Elchanan wanted to say, there's a nafkamina perhaps. What did Rav Elchanan want to say, nafkamina? Rav Elchanan said, nafkamina is for Asura Vihutra Asura Ve'achar kahutra. Like, for example, if she was your wife, someone, his wife's sister, and then his wife died, which is the only one of the arayis that could become mutter, he wanted to say, if it's just a svara, then be karon chayav. So, he's chayav later. But if it's a drasha, isha ru'ilo, then be karon, he's putter. So, he's putter forever, right? That's where we left off. Right? Is it like an external problem or is it an internal p'tor? According to the Ra'ah and Ritva and Tosfos, it's just an external problem. He just, the essay is not dokolosasa in this case. But there's no internal drasha. So therefore, right now you have a problem, but later you can do it. Well, according to the other, you showed him, no, Lucili, Isha, Isha, Ruyelo. And if she's not Ruyelo, there's no essay at all. If there's no essay, then there's no essay forever. Pointed out, the Minchas Chinuch points out it's not so pashut, because there is a sugid dichov yimitzvos, that it could be that even if it's just a technical problem, you'd be pashut forever. But I want to suggest, maybe, but this is a speculation, maybe the question of knas, right, lipsulos. And I want to suggest that maybe, but this is a speculation, it's really a speculation, maybe you could say, if you say, like there are Ritva and the Tosfos, even though the Ritva doesn't go this way in Daf Chav Tes, you would say that the Chachamim make more sense. Who say, you're Chayav Knas. Why? Because really, there is a mitzvah to marry them. You just can't. But there is a mitzvah to marry them. So if there is a mitzvah to marry them, even though you can't do it, you should still have to pay the Knas. While, according to this way, Rav Shimon ben Menasya and Shimon Hatemani make more sense. Patami Knas. Why? Because there's a specific pasuk that says, Losia Leisha, only she's Ruyelo. She's not Ruyelo, maybe she's excluded from the Parsha. Although, again, Lav Dafka, you could say it's just a side problem, but nonetheless, when practically you don't marry her, you don't pay Knas, or you could say it's a fundamental tour, but only on the marriage. What I thought was very nice, I mean, the Achron didn't say it, but once I saw this discussion, and the Fikei Yam didn't tie it into this discussion, he just mentioned there's an interesting Machlok and Mishnah Melech in Karen Ora. Once I saw this discussion, I couldn't resist it. I thought it was a great Nafkamina. What if, not an Ones, but if a Mifate marries a Psula, a woman who's usher to him, right? Marries a Psula, the Isser. Is he exempt from Knas? This is Machlosi, the Mishnah Melech, and the Karen Ora. I thought the Mishnah Melech says, it says in Yuvamos Daf Samech,
if a Kohen Gadol marries Ba'ulas Atzmo, then even though he can't stay married to her, he's exempt from Knas. Learns from this the Mishnah Melech that I put in the Makoros, that who had the Nami or Lachem Chaybi Lavin,
right? Such as Chaybi Lavin, e.g., for example, Chaybi Lavin. Let's say a guy is Mefata Mamzeris, or a Nesina, or a. Obviously, we're not talking about Mefata Achosa. Then he can't marry her. There's no Tfisis Kedushin, nothing to talk about, says Mishnah Melech. Tome Chaybi Lavin, there could be Tfisis Kedushin. Kedushin, Mefata Mamzeris, or a Nesina, or a Mitzri, or a. Or a mitzris, or a domis, or a grusha l'kohen, etc. And he marries her anyway, even though it's usher. Does he get exempt from the knas? Normally, if the mefata marries, he's exempt from the knas. Does this marriage count to exempt from the knas? So the Gemara says, if the kohen gadol is mefata, someone she's ba'ulas atzmo, he marries her, he's exempt from the knas. So says the Mishnah Melech, she's exempt from the knas. The Keren Ora says, no, only the kohen gadol who married mefutas atzmo is exempt, because it's only midrabbanan he has to divorce her. Midaraisa, he could stay married to her. That's because it's only midrabbanan problem. But if someone marries someone who's mamish asa midaraisa, it doesn't exempt them from the knas. Why? Because it's not, says the Keren Ora on the Makor sheet, because it's not isha ru'uyelo. Right? Abal hechli asura lo v'kaimim, nos lov klum hu'gam l'pot m'kosa, it came into ena ru'uyelo l'isha. What's going on? And the Keren Ora says, if you marry the ena ru'uyelo, it counts as if you did nothing. Well, the Mishnah Melech says, marrying an ena ru'uyelo counts. You shouldn't do it, but it counts. So I think that this is, I think they're really arguing about our Chakira. Here's what's new. It makes sense to me that the Mishnah Lamelech says, because he was Yotze, the mitzvah of Mefate marrying the Mefuta. The Mishnah says he was Yotzei. Ah, she's not Ru'uyelo. There is no drasha that ain't a Ru'uyelo. I know technically he shouldn't have done it because I say wasn't Doka Losase. But Lamaisa, once he did it, he was Yotzei the Parsha. He violated Losase. That's an external problem. Right? That's basically like here. Right? External problem versus internal limitation. Right? So, if it's just a side problem that he married her, but he was Mekayim the Parsha of Mefata, so he shouldn't have to pay Knas. However, the Keren Ora says no. Keren Ora says he's still Chayiv Knas because marrying, and this is his Lashon, and Isha, She'ena Re'uyalo, doesn't count within the Parsha of Ones Umefata. That's what he says. Lo Klum, it's not doing anything to marry Nain Ru'uyelo. Why? Because he thinks it's an internal limitation. The Parsha only talks about marrying Isha Ru'uyelo. She's not Ru'uyelo, she's excluded from the Parsha. And that means that if she's excluded from the Parsha and you marry her, you haven't done anything in the context of this Parsha. It says, Mahari Marina Lo the Isha for Isha Ru'uyelo. She wasn't Ru'uyelo, you didn't do it. And if you didn't do Mahari Marina Lo the Isha, she's not Ru'uyelo, then you should pay a Knas. So I think this is the best way to explain the Machlokas between the Mishnah Melech and the Keren Ora. Again, I would have mentioned this before, and I just happened to only find this at 8:30 on Tuesday morning.
One could carry this a bit further, or possibly not, that when it said when he marries her, it doesn't count for this, maybe it doesn't count for other things also. Could he marry her mother afterwards?
No, because that's what I'm saying. I'm talking within the parsha of Onus and Mefata, whether it counts or not. It clearly counts as Kiddushin in Kol Torah Kula. You marry Chayvi Lavin, there's Tfisas Kiddushin, even though you did something you shouldn't have done. And it definitely counts as Kiddushin in Kol Torah Kula. My question just, does it count as the inyan of Kiddushin of Onus and Mefata? I don't think you can expand past that. Okay. So that was just Hashlomer from last time. John, if you can. Yes, awesome. Yeshayah.
I mean, so that's why he would still need a divorce. You know, so
right, he clearly still needs a divorce. Everybody would have a lot of
different offense here, I guess.
Right, but that's what makes it interesting, right? Meaning, everyone agrees if he's Mefate, his sister, of course if he marries her, that's not, it's not a marriage, right? Kiddushin Aron Tofes. Kiddushin Aron Tofes is nothing to talk about. We're only talking about Chayvi Lavin. And if it's only Nisdrabbanan, Lechor, everyone also admits that that counts. It's only Nisdrabbanan, even though we're not requiring the Rambam, but at least for most Rishonim. But what's interesting is the Chayvi Lavin. Okay, now let's go on. The first. Who is the Keren Ora?
Is he more contemporary?
No. He's not contemporary. The Keren Ora is a classic opera. I believe he's in the 19th century. But I could be wrong. Anyone could feel free to correct me. Yes. The Brisker's doctor liked the Karen Orin. Maybe because he wrote more in Kutchin. Now, what we really wanted to start with the discussion today is the Maskana of the Gemara. Right? Yesterday we started with the Havmi of the Gemara, right? Why there Havmi that say Dokolo Sasa? What about the Drushal Sili Isha? And that was all the data we had on the board, five or six opinions. Now, what about the Maskana? What's the Maskana? Why is Asay not Dokolo Sasa? So the Gemara says, last few lines for the Mishnah, Hey, Ha'amrina Nasi, Asay B'din Chalo Sasa, Yomil Sarasbo, Efshal Kiyum Alasay. When do we say an Asay Dokolo Sasa? Like Mila B'Taras, because we can't be kind of the Asay unless we're Dokolo Sasa. Tosa says some versions also have flying betzitzis. Okay. Avalhachi, Amr, Globina, Misla Sekha, but here, if she doesn't want to marry him, remember, it's Lusi, Amidaita, everyone agrees Amidaita, right? First day in Tosa makes that be so good, so good, but everyone agrees that's a fact. It's up to her, right? And Moin Yumain, etc., and all the Svaras of Abai and Rava. So therefore, she could just say no, and then there's no Asay. So what does this Gemara mean? John, you got it, right? So what does this Gemara mean? Here, it's a very difficult Gemara, although, at first glance, it seems to be fairly cautious. And I'll try to do the best I can. It's hard to understand even exactly what somebody trying to show me or trying to say, but we'll try our best. Why isn't Asay Doche Lo Sase for Losiya Leisha? So, what does the Gemara sound like? What does the Gemara sound like? Certainly, you use the word Efshar. What does the Gemara sound like? What does that word Efshar remind us of?
It's not a
whose statement? The statement of? Which famous Amora? Alright. You don't have to tell me it's famous Amora. Right, which famous Amora is that? Reish Lakish, right? Reish Lakish says, in a few places in Shas, in Yevamos, in Menachos, and other places, Kol Makom Shamotza Tamotze Asei V'lo Sasem Efshar L'Kayim Shnei Amutav V'yem Lav Yavo Asei V'yidches Lo Sasem. Right? Meaning Asei Don L'Doch Lo Sasem if you don't have a choice, like Mila B'Tzaras, right? Remember, the case is the baby has some Tzaras on his Orla. So, if you cut the Orla, you've done the Lav of cutting off Tzaras. If you don't cut the Orla, you haven't done a Mila. Like, you have no choice. But over here, you have a choice. If you have a choice, clearly Asei is not Dokolo Sase. Here you have a choice. What's the choice? She could just say she doesn't want. And if she says she doesn't want, then then there's no need to marry her, and you don't need to Dokolo Sase. So you can have your cake and eat it too. That's the principle of Reish Lakish. And that seems to be the Pashup Shot. That's what Rashi sounds like, although he doesn't say too much. Doesn't say too much. What he says, we teach her to say any rotza, meaning we find another solution. Almost the Achronim understood in Rashi, even though he doesn't say too much. What he's saying is we try to find another solution, the rule of Reish Lakish, that Efshar L'Kayim Shnei Amutav, right? The Shagas Aryeh already says this is, if I'm not mistaken, this is Pshat and Rashi based on the rule of Efshar L'Kayim Shnei Amutav of Reish Lakish and Siman Tzadik Vav, and likewise a lot of the later Achronim, like the Kovetz Ha'Oros that was in brackets, all assume that. The Rambam also sounds that way, because what does the Rambam say? Let me find the Rambam's Lashon. Was the Rambam on this page? Okay. Says, maybe he was earlier on the page, I think. Says the Rambam, one second, let me just read it to you. I'm not claiming it's Mukhar from Rashi, but let's go with that for now. Says the Rambam, in Gimel Hey, he says, "Lama lo yavo asay v'yidches lo sasa v'emi u'sashem v'emi ones yisus asur lo shari efshar shlo tirtze lishe v'nimta asay v'lo sasa kayamin." Maybe she won't want to, and you'll be mekayim asay lo sasa v'emi efshar l'kayim shneihem. Right? He's being lushed. Efshar shneihem kayamin. Efshar l'kayim shneihem. So that clearly sounds like Rashi. So one approach is, and this is probably the simplest approach because the Mara uses a lushed of efshar. This is the simplest pshat in the Gemara. The simplest pshat in the Gemara is, Rambam, Mashmos, Rambam, Ora, Rashi, and I think there's the Pashup Shah. I think you'd admit, Pashup Shah of the Lord is actually kind of shnei. Doesn't have to be the right shot. I think it's probably the Pashup Shah. Okay, doesn't matter. Anyway, is the rule of
Epshel Lekayim, Shneihem, Shneihem, I guess, they're mitzvos. Never know if I say Zachar or Nekeva. Epshel Lekayim, Shneihem. Right, you have a way out. If you have a way out, I say cannot be docha a lo sase. That's the general rule. Okay, I'm not going to into examples yet. Now, what's the problem with this pshat? I think there's a pashup pshat. Well, there is or isn't. I think this pshat in Rashi. Definitely don't think that. Definitely seems to be pshat in the Rambam. What's the problem with this? What was people's problem with this simple pshat? Exactly. I mean, what do you mean you're Mekayim the Asay? You're not Mekayim the Asay. You're not Mekayim the Asay. You are, if she says she doesn't want, then there's no Asay. So you're, meaning you can get out of the Asay, but you can't be Mekayim the Asay. What's the problem then? The problem then is this is the Chakira that Kobetz Ha'aretz that was in brackets. He says, hold on a second. What if you have a way out that you can avoid the assay? So should you avoid the assay or not? So what does it sound like? It sounds like if there's no way out, you're allowed to be docha lo sase. But if you can avoid the assay, then don't be docha lo sase. The problem is, what's the problem? What's the problem? Is that true that as long as you have a way out that you're not like doing a bitul asay, right? Then you shouldn't be docha lo sase. Is that true?
Depends on the
asay. It sounds like, basically what's the problem? It sounds like, I'll use Lashon Rochavim. We are not docha lo sase in order to be mekayim in asay. We're only doche in order to avoid a bitul asay. Right? We're only doche if otherwise we'd be negligent in being kind of the asay. We'd be violating the asay. That's what we could do. Docha lo sase, so we don't violate the assay. Like, for example, the baby with tsaras, if we didn't give him bris milah, we'd be violating the assay of bris milah. So we could docha la to not violate the assay. But to just be mekayim and assay, it's not worth being docha over here. If she's mochel, we're not mekayim, we don't violate. It's hard for me to imagine you're mekayim the assay if she's mochel, like you haven't done anything. Right? So it sounds from here, which could be. We learned from here, assay docha lo sase is not as strong as you think. You can't be docha lo sase just to hop an assay. It can only be docha lo sase, but otherwise you'd be violating the assay. The problem is that true? What's the counterexample?
Yeah, people say
tzitzis, so don't worry about it. So, the Rishonim asked tzitzis, and the Tosfos really asks, I think even more strongly, because it's more similar, although it's a judgment call. How about Yibam? What does the Gemara say? Midaraisa, now, Midarabanan, that's called Zerub Yerushonah to be a Shniya, not for now. Midarabanan, we don't do Yibam. Well, let me just remind you what the discussion here is in Yibam. They're not talking about the fact that in Yibam, it's always Gilui Arayis, right? Every time a guy does Yibam, it's his sister-in-law. No, that's okay. That's built into Yibam. That's not a regular discussion of Seidu Chalasasa. Obviously, the whole point of Yibam is that he marries his sister-in-law. We're talking about Yibam Chayvi Lavin. Like, what if the Yibam is a Mamzeris? Or he's a Mamzer. Or the Yibam is a Grusha and he's a Kohen. Or, you know, lots of other examples you can think of. So what about in that case? The Gemara says, midrabbana, we don't get involved. But midoraisa, asay is docha lo sase. Midoraisa, a guy can be miyav in the mamzeres. Not because it's built into Yibam. It's not. Built into Yibam is just your sister-in-law. Because asay is docha lo sase. Midoraisa, a kohen can be miyav in a grusha, if we assume it's just lo sase. Because asay is docha lo sase.
That's what we hold.
We hold it midoraisa, you miyam chai milavim. Again, what do we hold? A, yashgan, no, do you many, and B, midorabon, and you can't. But, so we see, now, hold on a second. If you didn't be miyabim her, you would be mevatel the assay of yibam? What would you do if you were miyabim her? You do chalitza, and then it would be mutter, right? You're allowed to do chalitza, not yibam. So what do we see from here? That it's mutter to violate a lav, just to chapa mitzvah sasei. Even though you're allowed to not do it, it's very parallel. You're allowed to not do it,
But it's mutter to do it in order to chapuz. Let's say that's one of the strongest problems. It's much closer to home. The problem is, what about Yibam? In Yibam, again, Yibam on the level of Doraisa. Me the Oraisa mutter li yabim chai be lavim. Even though you don't have to do Yibam, we are doche losase in order to be mekayim and asay. So here also, you're right, you don't have to do it. But don't we want to be mekayim and asay? Isn't worth being doche losase in order to be mekayim and asay? Right? That's the problem of the Tosas Rid. Says the Tosas Rid, one second. Says the Tosas Rid. The kashli lahi pirusha. First he quotes the kuntras. Right, he doesn't call him the Kuntras. What did Tosfos Rid call Rashi? What? Hamorev. Tosfos Rid calls Rashi Hamorev. When he says Hamorev, it means Rashi. Perish Hamorev. Hashanam Yilam the Solomayin who wrote to the Kashal Yilai Perush. Perish. The Imkain Gabay Yadma Ma'irin Dase Seviyochel Osase. Came to him Lo Yachpot. No Madem Lo Mayin wrote to the Yachpot. Just tell him to do Chalitza Lo Litchi. Ba Ma'irin Hacham Didachi. Okay. Misham Hachi, etc. That's already an answer. And you get the same question from Tzitzis, right? Since it's maybe a little trickier, but at least theoretically you can ask the question. After all, in, you have to wear a klai and tzitzis, right? Let's say you have a linen garment. So don't, and then you have to put on tchilas that's wool. So don't wear a linen garment around the corner of your linen garment, etc. But let's start, and of course, Tosh Hashanah has the same question about Kibbutz Avayim. Same that question, right? The Gemara, they had a hav mina. It's a little weaker. It's a question of a hav mina. The hav mina is that asay is doch losasa mekibud avayim. If your father asks you for something and it's losasa, he asks you to cook on not to cook, but to mechal yontif to bring him something, to build him something on yontif, or to go to a beis hakvaros, according to go to beis hakvaros and bring him food. Hav mina is that it's docha. So or to not be mishan aveder or whatever. Hav mina it's docha. Why? Efshel karm shem. Just tell him to say he doesn't want the food. Okay. But this is the strongest. So now, how do we answer this question? What's pshat? How is this is what the whole Tovas Arsim and Yodal, or most of it, is about. You can't say asay doch lo sasa only when you're absolutely stuck with no other option. Because in Yibam you have another option. Just it's not as big a mitzvah, right? What am I going to say? Chalitza makom Yibam la mitzvah. Chalitza is not a big mitzvah compared to Yibam. So even if you have an option, it's worth being doche lo sasa in order to chap a mitzvah say. So here you're right, you have an option. But isn't it worth being doche lo sasa to chap a mitzvah say? So, what do you answer? How do you defend this? Anyone?
You have to define what the yeshar means. If it's something reasonable, in terms of, like he answers, in terms of evil, ain't chalitza b'makom evil. Right? You can do it, but it's not a good idea. So in any of these things, that's you can get away with it, but it's not the getter of Efshar, really, because it's a doichet.
It's what makes chalitza more dochak than her saying I don't want to get married.
It's also the
now you're saying because chalitza is not a mitzvah compared to Yibam. I don't understand. If she says I don't want you to marry me, isn't that also not a mitzvah compared to doing Mosei Elisha?
Well, maybe not. I think you said it the last year. That there's a difference between a mitzvah and a suggestion, I guess that's the best way to put it. That Loti Elisha is not necessarily a mitzvah per se. It's just
not a mitzvah?
The Iser is...
Hold it. One second. It's not a mitzvah. Let's see. Says the Rambam. Says the Rambam. Sheyisa ha'ones anusaso. That he should marry her. Doesn't that sound like a mitzvah?
The mitzvah is not a chiyuv.
Sounds like it.
The Iser really is
just Rotzehiva. If he doesn't want to, we force him to do it. Sounds like a mitzvah. No, what is your suggestion? Not a suggestion. This is not Reform Judaism that Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the 10 suggestions.
isn't this the difference between a chiyuv and a mitzvah? as opposed to uh-huh. Yibum is more of a chiyuv, but there's a choice. There's a choice, but it's a chiyuv either way after the one or the other. This is a mitzvah under certain tanayim. If she doesn't want to do it, he's not over anything. But if you don't do yibum down to chlitz, you're over something. So maybe there's a difference between those two.
That's interesting. And in yibum, you have to do something. Even if there's another option, the problem is that cuts the other way.
Right.
So if you even the mitzvah is to do something, then do chalitza and you've done something.
Yeah.
Right? So I was thinking of that direction, but I think it cuts the other way too much. Because if you say, well, even either way you have to do something, then great, I did something, I did chalitza, so I was yotzei. Like, you don't want to make it as yibum and chalitza are too unified. Because in that case, then you should just do chalitza.
Losi Elisha doesn't apply today, but she has to agree to it. If she doesn't agree to it, it's not chal, in the first place.
Aha. Okay, so that's what, basically I had two ways of looking at this. I thought what the Tosfos Rid meant in his answer, that's a good question, what did the Tosfos Rid mean in his answer? One of the frustrating parts of the sugya is that no one's exactly sure what any of the Rishonim mean. So we'll just try our best. Okay, it's good to know you're not crazy, no? What is the answer of the Tosfos Rid? Answers the Tosfos Rid. And basically we have two drachim. So let's see. Mishum hachi nearly the farish. The ma'ida amar achmana gavi onus losi leisha ain al lahaf his daito. Losi leisha is only to satisfy her. The amar lo beina le lesa le say klal. If she says I didn't want, there's no say at all. Right? That's the lashon of our gemara. Helkach lav klumhu asay the midrash losase. Therefore, the asay doesn't count to be dochel losase. Kemish lo tivo aboriel lofayis daito. Hashem only commanded it in order to satisfy her. But mitzvah yibam, the Torah put on you, not to satisfy a person, a live person. The avgav darmi isha lo beina lo meyakman yibam. Even if she says she doesn't want, it doesn't uproot the mitzvah yibam. Hilkach mitzvah darmi alei rechmanu. Therefore, it's a mitzvah the Torah put on you. Lahachi dachi yisol sase. That's why it's dochel losase. The avgav the matzah yibam lo yibam lo beina libumi. Even though you could refuse to yibam duchalikim lo mechlo duchalitza. I mean, hasam lizum of me made a mitzvah. Chalitza compared to yibam is not a mitzvah. Okay, what does he mean by this? Is a little unclear. No, that's what he's saying. Here it's lafistato, and there it's lakim zara. That's what he's saying. There it's not lafistato, there it's lakim zara. So what does he mean by this is not 100% clear. And how do you defend Rashi? I think that, let's first see what Rav Elchanan says in that Kovetz Aris in brackets, and also the Stipler here, Alatar, and some Nembeid and Gilles Yaakov makes a big deal of this. One way of understanding it is, this is the Kovetz Aris. He says, you know what the difference is? And I'll tell you we'll see how it works. He says that, he says, what's the difference? The difference is, by tzitzis and yibum, I could pater myself. But if I pater myself, I have not done the Ritzon HaTorah. Meaning, I could pater myself in tzitzis. How can I pater myself in tzitzis? I could round the corner, I could wear a three-cornered garment, I could, etc. I could pater myself from tzitzis. But that wouldn't be Mekayim the Ritzon in the Torah, because the Torah wants me to wear tzitzis. V'haraya, what does the Gemara say? What did the Malach tell Rav Katina? What did the Malach tell Rav Katina? What?
The time of anger.
Exactly. A guy who, like, never wears a four-cornered garment, just, like, always wears rounded garments or three-cornered garments and never wears tzitzis, hasn't technically violated the halacha, but in a time of divine displeasure, he will be held liable, meaning he clearly has violated the Ratzon HaTorah, even though he has a technical p'tur. Likewise, if someone doesn't do yibum. You know, not that nowadays we're, you know, having the kind of drabbanon, etc. The guy doesn't do yibum, he has a p'tor, but he's gone against the ratzon of the Torah, because the Torah obviously wanted to do yibum, and chalitza is only b'dieved. He says, but if she doesn't want to get married, then he's not against the ratzon of the Torah at all. Like, there's two ways to get out of a mitzvah. There's to get out of a mitzvah and lose and not do Ritzon HaTorah. Sometimes you can get out of the mitzvah and still do Ritzon HaTorah. What was the Ritzon HaTorah? The Ritzon HaTorah is she gets what she asks for. So if she wants, right, a guy's not honest, a girl. If the girl says, in my social personal circumstances, the only way that'll save my life is for you to marry me, then the Ritzon HaTorah is to marry her. And if, let's say you take more contemporary circumstances, imagine, the girl says, the only way I can move on with my life is if you move 8,000 miles away and I never see you again for the rest of my life, and the last thing I want is you to marry me, then the Ritzon HaTorah is that he shouldn't marry her, right? If the Ritzon HaTorah is whichever way makes her happy is equally Ritzon HaTorah. So therefore, what he says is that in Tzitzis and Yibum, it's called Eshar Lekayim Shnehem, because even if you use a valid exemption, you're not fulfilling Ritzon HaTorah. Clearly, the guy hasn't, he has a halachic right to never wear tzitzis. Nowadays, I'll wear pants and shirts like Western people, which don't have corners, and never wear tzitzis. That's halachically permitted, but I'm not being behind Ritzon HaTorah. A guy can do chalitza, that's halachically permitted. The Torah allows it, but it's not Ritzon HaTorah. The Torah only permitted that as a bidyevet. But in Lo Siyela Isha, if she doesn't want to marry him, then by not doing the assay, he is still fulfilling the Ratzon HaTorah. Because after all, the Ratzon HaTorah is to make her happy, is whichever way she wants. And therefore, therefore, it is called Efshar L'Kayim Shnehem. This is what some of the Achronim write. And I'll tell you my only hesitation. It sounds very good the way I put it on the board, meaning it definitely makes sense the way I illustrated it. Right? Clearly, tzitzis, yeah, you're not so firm if you get out of tzitzis, even though it's mutter. Yibam, you're not really doing what the Torah wants if you do chalitz instead of yibam, even though the Torah gave you a pi. Over here, if you do whichever way she picks, you're equally doing Ritzon HaTorah. Doing the Asei Ritzon HaTorah when you're supposed to, and not doing the Asei Ritzon HaTorah when you're not supposed to. My only problem with this Rebbe Chanan, which apparently is popular among the Stipler and some of the modern Achronim, is that this works very well for a case where she really doesn't want. But in our case, Rashi says, Belamdin Osa, like, she really does want, right? Especially, man, she's a Mamzeris. So maybe she'll take what she can get at this point. She really does want. We just artificially, the rabbis convince her to say she doesn't want. So it's hard for me to call that Ritzon HaTorah if she really does want. Just the technical halacha forces her to, you know, it's too much of a trick here. It's like, you know, okay, I don't know, Heter Iska, whatever, but she really does want. It's Ritzon HaTorah that he's giving her what she wants, when she really does want. We just make her say she doesn't want. So that's why it's a little tricky to me.
Why don't you say like the Rambam, boy, get? He says when we hit him with Ritzon HaTorah, so does everyone really want the Ritzon HaTorah?
Okay.
Maybe she thinks she doesn't, but deep down inside she does.
Yes, but that's circular reasoning, though. Why is that circular reasoning? Because if she really does want to marry him, then it's Ritzon HaTorah to marry her. Meaning, it's not clear what the Ritzon HaTorah is in the first place. It's all circular reasoning.
But you're adding that she can't marry because she's
but she only can't marry because it's not Tocha Lo Sasa. Right? It's only not Tocha Lo Sasa because she doesn't want. And she only doesn't want to get married, so it becomes somewhat circular, so I'm not convinced. So, Tzarech Iyon La'aniyaz Daiti, because in this case, she really does want to marry him. She really does want to marry him. And we pressure her to say Lobeina. So if you look at things from a very like formal, technical perspective, once she says Lobeina, it's the Ritzon HaTorah to respect her wishes. But it's a little tricky to me, so I'm going to leave it a little bit sorry. It depends how practical versus formal you are. You know, do you really look at the, you know, the human condition here, or do you look at the formalities?
What it could really mean is, you don't look at the whole thing is saying here that generally this is the kind of mitzvah that this is what can happen to it. Yeah, in this particular case maybe not, but generally it's a mitzvah such that you can be Efshar Lasot Shnehem.
Okay. Now I think Joel said something before.
I should read the Nasiach my suggestion. Mm-hmm. First of all, we're not dealing with her law here of marrying, so she's in Mamzeres marrying.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But second of all, I mean, maybe that's what your Melamed does, that you shouldn't do Isuri.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's the Ramban.
All right, but sorry, but even here, like, even in the case of Tzitzis and Yibum, the mitzvah of Yibum is still around. Even here, and here you
okay, that's
you
what you said before. I agree with what you said before.
That's what I meant by suggestion.
I understood what you meant and agree with it last time. I just wanted to say what Rav Elchanan said first.
Okay.
So I figured even though it's me and you together who outvote Rav Elchanan, but still, you know, we'll put him first. So what? Second, let me just read what he said.
Would never go for this.
So, Nirlan is that what the. What the Tosas Rid might really mean, and the Meduyik and Lashon Gemara, is I think this is what the Tosas Rid is trying to say. I think this is Meduyik and Lashon Gemara. Meduyik. I think maybe what Meduyik and Rama mean is this. Is again the okay? It's not Meduyik and Lashon of the Rama, but it's a good svara. Is that there's a difference between tzitzis yibum and losia leisha. Losia leisha is fundamentally lahafis daita ben adam lahaveru. It's only for her. Therefore, I'm saying what you're saying. You can stop me if I'm not in a minute. If she is mochel, I don't even care why she's mochel. She's mochel because she doesn't want to marry him if her life depended on it. She's mochel because he bribed her with $1 million. She's mochel because the rabbi's going to be mochel. Once she's mochel the ben adam lachaveiro, the mitzvah doesn't exist anymore. The mitzvah doesn't exist anymore. The mitzvah disappears. When you're mochel the ben adam lachaveiro, there is no mitzvah. As opposed to yibum, the Torah gave you a way out, but there is a mitzvah. In yibum, you can't erase the mitzvah of yibum. You can just not do it. In tzitzis, you can't erase the mitzvah of tzitzis. You can just not do it. But over here, you can erase the mitzvah of Losi Elisha. What's the Losh of the Gemara? Losh of the Gemara is Mi'isil Asei Klal. You don't have to be so badai, but like, it's not just that you have a way to avoid it. You have a way to erase the Asei Legamre. And I think that's what he's trying to say. Think of your Dai, the Losh of the Tosus Rid. What's his point? His point is that, Eino Lahafas Daita, Yomer Lubaina, Lay Lesil Asei Klal. There is no Hilo Glav Klumu. Maybe what it means is this. In tzitzis and yibum, you have a way out, but the mitzvah still exists. So that's called e'efshel l'kayim shneihem, because without the chiyas halav, there is a mitzvah you're not fulfilling. But in this case, because it's l'hafas daita, but here, once she says lo be'ina, and this is the discussion of the kobashurim here, right? It could be that once she says lo be'ina, she can't change her mind, right? Or like when you're mochel adet, you can't change your mind later. Once she says lo be'ina, the mitzvah disappears. She can be mochel the mitzvah. Once she says lo be'ina, the mitzvah's gone. After all, she was mochel it. You can be mochel mitzvah ala chaveiro. If you're mochel, it doesn't exist anymore. I understand a mitzvah le bal chov to write mitzvah before a chov. So mitzvah to pay back your debt. If I'm mochel the debt, there's no mitzvah anymore. It's gone. It just disappears. The mitzvah shavas gzeila. If I'm mochel gzeila, then it's gone. There is no mitzvah anymore.
So therefore,
is called Asher L'Kayim Shnehem, because once she is mocheles, there is no mitzvah left unfulfilled. Because, so that's the subtlety here. If you, aseiz dochol, even if there's a way out of the mitzvah, aseiz dochol osu saseh, a mitzvah will be fulfilled, won't be unfulfilled. But, In this case, there won't be a mitzvah unfulfilled. There won't be a mitzvah at all once she says lubeina. And if there's no mitzvah at all, then that's actually kayim shneim. It's sort of in between the chakira that Rav Chanan started with. He says, is esed lozas to avoid a violation of a mitzvah or in order to chap a mitzvah? The answer is neither. It's in order to avoid having an unfulfilled mitzvah. So, but over here, you don't have an unfulfilled mitzvah because the mitzvah disappears. The gamrei mi'isal asei klal. That's what I think the Tosfot is saying. Isn't that what you were saying, Joel?
I think you said it better.
Didn't we have almost that if she says, forget it, I don't want police, I don't want you, when we're not getting married,
No, that was machlokas. That's an interesting machlokas. L'chor, we have to assume that that's not true, that you still have to do. Let's assume you still have to do one of them, which is, I think, probably the mainstream. So that doesn't bother me.
So does this weaken the mitzvah?
That's not weaken the mitzvah. It's absolutely
not. So then it's always up to the individual situation.
We're allowed in Otah to say Lobaina. Bezdin has their ways.
But you have to be lucky that she'll agree.
You don't have to be lucky. Bezdin has their ways.
Once you do
chalitza,
is there a mitzvah of
yibum? So that's what bothered me a little, which is once you do chalitza, doesn't the mitzvah of yibum disappear the guy, right? So
I'm going to do yibum now. There is no more mitzvah for her. That's part of the weak problem here. In 1.1, it talks about...
It's better off. Right. What you're saying is that my shot doesn't work because likewise, if you do chalitza, it makes the mitzvah of yibum disappear the gamre. So you have a way to make it disappear the gamre.
That's after the fact, though. After you do it, before you do
it. I hear that. I was going back and forth in that all morning. Unless you say, you're right, then I'm going to have to be much more complicated. I'm going to say, but in that case, he is refusing to be Yibam, and already he is refusing to fulfill a mitzvah, as opposed to here, where we can arrange a circumstance so that she is Mochel, and therefore, you know, he doesn't have to say or refuse to do a mitzvah say. So over there, even though Chalitza would make it disappear, but to get the Chalitza, you have to refuse to do a mitzvah say, and it's better to do a lav and not refuse to do a mitzvah say. But I admit, it's sort of, okay.
The whole reason why the mitzvah is for her is because we're saying the mitzvah is only for her.
Right.
Right? So how? So then we get back to the same question I had before. If she's a mamzeris, she maybe wants to marry you. So what does it mean for her?
So the answer is going to be that even if she wants to marry her, we convince her she doesn't.
What?
We convince her she doesn't.
All right, so how is that? Why isn't that answer the first? It's the same thing with our first criteria, where it's dependent
on
her being satisfied about it.
So
difference? I mean, I
don't know. And Chanami, that was, Rav Chanan was satisfied with that. He says, once we convince her, so she's Yimekat and Ratzon HaTorah. Okay, well, we can discuss that more later, because I think I'm not fully copying exactly what you're asking. Let me just go on for a moment. Let's see if there are other approaches, though, because we see this approach was tricky. Maybe there's weaknesses to both approaches, right? So here's also Tzarech Iyun, right? Tzarech Iyun, Shaharei, Im Yachlotzla, Haka Mitzvahs Yibam, right? So that's also Tzarech Iyun. V'yesh Lomar, right? V'yesh Lomar, Dimikol Makom, Adif, Lidchos, Lav, the lo yomar hu lo chafatzdi l'kayim asei the tzarech iyun. Okay, tzarech iyun in that conversation. So maybe there's a different approach. Is there a completely different approach? Let's look for a moment at the Tosfos Yeshanim. Says the Tosfos Yeshanim, Iyomer lo b'yinim yisal asei klal hikshar of Ezra. Amai itzarech krob perkam divamos te'en asei dekiba do cheshavos. Why do you need a pasuk that kibud avim is not docheh shabbos? Why is there a havamir that kibud avim is docheh lav? Haleka asay the amr lo ve'inu l'kibud yisal asay klal. Meaning, here it's a weak question. It's a question on a havamir, not a question on a din. But why is there a havamir that kibud avim is docheh lo saseh? Kibud avim is the same as this. If he doesn't want it, there's no asay, right? The same as we'll see l'isha. He can be mochel. Everyone agrees that avsha mochel akvod akvod mochel akvod mochel. So why isn't it the same? Interestingly, in the brackets, there was a ktos. The ktos says, you can't ask questions with kibud avim. That's different because it's more chomer, because hukash kvodim l'kvod hamakom. because the kibud of aim is a hekesh to kibud of Hashem. So maybe that's a different ballgame. But okay, let's stick with our Tosos. So Tosos gives two answers. His first answer is saying, v'yesh lomar, yohaso mikol mokom yad shetiva av ha-yasei lasos mitzvaso. First is yesh lomar, no, over there it's different. Over there, as once he commanded me, once he says, bring me, again, what's the case with the PSLAV? He says, cook for me on Shabbos. Or he says to the Kohen, bring me that food from the bay from the cemetery. Or whatever the case may be. Once he says to do it, now, it's an mitzvah saseh. Meaning, you can't be mevatel kibud va'eim like you could be mevatel losi elisha. Now, what exactly he means is very unclear. What does he mean by this? He says, over here, one second, if she's mochelis, there's no asay. But over there, once he commands you, there is an asay. But why can't we just teach him to be mochel? So what does Tosfos mean? What does Rosh Hashanah mean? Sorry, please. So it's not exactly clear to me. Rav Elchanan talks about this in the one on the sheet, and he quotes a Tosfos Rush. He calls it a sheet. I mean, she didn't get to quote a Tosfos Rush from Bava Metzia, who says maybe the difference is, first of all, this is similar to what I mentioned on the board. What did he say first? Let me just make sure. He says that he says maybe what it means is that over here, once she's mochel, the essay is gone. Over here, even if he says, forget it, I don't want that food. There's still an assay forever to give him other things that he wants, so the assay is still around. So he can't, like, the assay is still there. Or he suggests that Rav Elchanan says, maybe what he means is that even if he's mochel, it's still a mitzvah to give him what he wants. If the girl is mochel, it's not a mitzvah to marry her. If the father says, oh, I'm hungry, I'd like an omelet. Oh, forget it, I don't need the omelet. It's still a mitzvah to give him an omelet. He'd still be happy to have an omelet. Mm-hmm. So really, that's not nitan le mechila. Like, you mean mochel, you don't have to, but it's still a mitzvah. Right? He still wants an omelet. Mm-hmm. Or I thought just the simpler way of saying it is to read the Kavan of this Tosus. Again, Rav Elchanan suggests, he doesn't suggest anything. He quotes from a parallel Tosus Rush in Bava Metzia, in the Shiva Metzis Bava Metzia, who says, why is Kibud of Aim different? Either because even if he's mochel, it still applies all the time, or even if he's mochel, it's still a mitzvah to give him what he's hungry for. Or you could say, I mean, those subtle differences that maybe the Daik and the Lashon be Yad, that by Kibud of Aim, it's mitzvah to give it to him right away. So there's no solution to have Bezdin teach him to be mochel, because it's a mitzvah right away. Oh, by Losi Leish, it's not a mitzvah to marry her right away. You can marry her in a day, you can marry her in a month, and therefore Losi Leish, it's after time shneim. And before the time comes to marry her, Bezdin will tell her to be mochel. By Kibud of Aim, it's not after time shneim. It's a mitzvah right away, so there's no time to try to convince him to be mochel. Okay, that's one of these pshatim. Either he says that, basically his first answer is that it's about Esher L'Kayim Shneim. But that's not a case of Esher L'Kayim Shneim, either because it still exists in general, or because it's still a mitzvah to make him happy, even if he says it's not necessary, or because it's a mitzvah right away, and there's no time to teach him otherwise. His second answer, and of course the most fascinating, he says, says the Tosus Yishanim in his Linira, right? Is this all, did it say Lamed on there? Yeah, Linira. Meaning a Yesh Lomar, but a Linira. Obviously the Linira is a stronger than a Yesh Lomar. Right? Says Linira, that it has nothing to do with Efshel Kaim Shneim at all. Right? It's not about Efshel Kaim Shneim. The point that she can be mochel is not about Efshel Kaim Shneim. So what does it say? It's not because of Efshel Kaim Shneim. Rather, what's the point that she can be mochel? What are the Gemara trying to tell us by saying, if she doesn't want, it's not necessary? The Gemara is trying to tell us that if she doesn't want, it's not necessary. What does that prove? Nothing to do with Efshel Kaim Shneim. Says that was a red herring. Too many kashas and sitzes keep it away. No. Nothing to do with Efshel Kaim Shneim. It's not Efshel Kaim Shneim. After all, he's not Mekayim Losi Elisha unless he marries her. Rather, it's a totally different part. Why is the Gemara saying that it's up to her? What's the point of that? That's Igloi Milsa, that. Why is the Gemara emphasizing that it's up to her, according to the Tosfos Shanah? What's it teaching us?
She's also Mekayim.
for the mitzvah.
Or, okay, you're saying a little roundabout. What's the point of the Gemara? I know I'm being very mean. Instead of asking you what he said, I ask you how he reads it into the Gemara. The point of the Gemara is that in Klayim and Tzitzis, he has to do it. Over here, he has to marry her, but she doesn't have to marry him, right? That's Pashat. What does that prove? He has a mitzvah say, but she doesn't have a mitzvah say. The point of saying that it's up to her to be mochel is that she is not mitzvah. If you're obligated, you can't be mochel. You can only be mochel something you're not obligated in. So that's the point. Rather, the Gemara means that she can say lo ba'ina, which proves she doesn't have a mitzvah say. Only he has a mitzvah say. She doesn't have a mitzvah say. For her, it's optional. Optional is not mitzvah say. Right? He's the one commanded. She's not commanded anything. There's no mitzvah say for her. She doesn't have a mitzvah say. Does she have a lav? So, what's the rule? Says in Yishma Torah Sinibamas, all the Yisrei Bia are equally applicable to the man and the woman. It's not only usher for me to marry Mamzeres, it's usher for the Mamzeres to marry me. It's not only usher for me to marry my mother-in-law, it's usher for my mother-in-law to marry me. It's not only usher for me to marry a mitzris, it's usher for the mitzris to marry me, etc., etc., all of the... And not only that, it's not only us for the Kohen to marry Grusha, it's us for the Grusha to marry the Kohen, even if she's Israelis. Right? So therefore, she doesn't have a mitzvah say, but she still has a lav. So for her, there's no asay to be doche the lav. Very passionate and clever and brilliant. He says, you're misreading the Gemara. The Gemara is not saying there's a way out by her being mochel. That's not what the Gemara meant. It didn't mean there's a way out because she's mochel. What it meant is, since she's mochel, it proves she doesn't have an assay. If she doesn't have an assay, she still has a lav. So it's mochel. You're right. For him, his assay is double assay, he can marry her. But she can't marry him because she doesn't have an assay. And therefore, it's usher. That's the way he reads the Gemara.
It's a good answer, but the Gemara talking about Mila Bitsaras sounds like the two... Are much more
in Mila Mitzaras. No, the answer is in Mila Mitzaras, the guy is Mitzuma. Okay, you're right. It's a little, it's not the simple
story. It's so clever.
Fair enough. Maybe it's a little clever. Why do you think none of the other Rishonim said like him? Right? You read many Rishonim, right? None of the Rishonim said like Hilchos Shani. Why do you think none of the Rishonim said like him? Say it in his language. In Yivam also, she has a lav, and he has the essay, and nonetheless, is that what you meant to say?
No, I was saying that meaning he could say lo be'ina, and yet he still has a mitzvah. Meaning, so what kind of star is it to say that? Oh, since lo be'ina,
okay, that doesn't bother me so much because even if you're right, it seems pasha to all. She doesn't have a mitzvah. We'll see Elisha in the case of onus, right? Isn't it just? It is common sense. No, in the case of onus, he has a mitzvah. She doesn't have a mitzvah. She's not assuming to marry him. You're technically right, but that doesn't bother me, because we all know it'll be common sense. The guy's honest, the girl, he has a mitzvah to marry her, she doesn't have a mitzvah to marry him.
So that means that Havmina thought that even if she didn't have, if it ever knew so pasha.
Uh-huh. So what do I think is the controversial part here? The controversial part is why don't the other Rishonim agree? Nira Lenias Daiti, not Lenias Daiti, all the Echorim say this, right? It's not Lenias Daiti. I can say that my this Das of Gaiva, because it comes from all the Echorim and I didn't make it up. why don't the other Rishonim agree? So the answer is, because they hold that Asay Shel Ha'ish Doche Los Asay Shel Ha'isha. Meaning, the other can hold, the assay of Reuven is Doche, the Los Assay of Reuven, and the Los Assay of Shimon. Who says that you look at each person separately? No, my assay is Doche, your lav. What's the proof that my assay is Doche, your lav? And the proof is Yivam Chayve Lavin. Most Rishonim hold, the Chinuch is pretty mafurish, and the Avodraham is pretty mafurish, the mitzvah of Yivam is only in the man, Yivamah, Yavoa, Lehol, Kachloli, Shav Yivmah. the mitzvah ziva on the man is docha the lo sasa the woman, that proves that a mitzvah of one person is docha the lo sasa of another person. That's not so crazy. Not such a crazy thing. My mitzvah can be docha your lav. So, and the proof is yivim chayv lav, and where the man's mitzvah is docha the woman's iser. Of course, what's the Tosfos Yeshanim going to have to say to defend himself?
The whole thing of that you're essaying to be dealt with the others, those are saying, hey, learn that down, that that's because everyone has to worry about everyone else. She doesn't want to worry about him. He just attacked her. She doesn't have that scar over here.
I don't know, but she wants her to marry him, so maybe she does have a svar to help him do his obligation. I'm not sure that's so crazy. I mean, I can see what Mordechai is trying to say is that maybe the Tosfos Yeshanim will say that's different. Over there, he's not doing yibum to help her. So she has to help him do the mitzvah of yibum. Over here, he's only doing it to help her. So like, there's no arvus that I have to help someone help myself. That's more selfish. I mean, by yibum, it's not selfish on her part. She's trying to help him do his mitzvah. Over here, it's selfish on her part, and maybe that's different. I hear that, Taina. Meaning, what will the Tosfos Yeshanim say? He doesn't say anything. We're out of room.
You may not want to do the mitzvah.
That is true. But theoretically, how do we defend Tosfos Yeshanim? So, Morty wants to say... So, I think what he wants to say is... I'm not sure if this is what you want to say, or I'm spinning it a little. Over there... She's really Lishma trying to help him do the mitzvah. And actually, it might be the opposite of what you're trying to say, but let's call it what you're trying to say anyway.
It's an older that she wants to get married.
So over here, meaning, over here, it's too self-serving. Over here, her kavan is for herself. Over there, her kavan is more for the mitzvah. Okay, it could be. By Yibam, she is more Lishma. I would say a little better. I would say much more pashut. That he just makes a different assumption. He assumes by Yibam the woman also has a mitzvah say. It's not mefurish anywhere in the Gemara who has the mitzvah say of Yibam. Most mefarshim say only the man. But some achronim say the woman also has a mitzvah say of Yibam. Maybe the Tosfos Yeshanim holds. Maybe the Tosfos Yeshanim holds that the Yavama also has the assay, the mitzvah of assay of Yibam. That would be the simplest way to justify him. Say, by Yibam, they both have an assay, it's docha both their losases. Over here, only he has an assay, and therefore it's docha his losase, but it's not docha her losase. That is probably the simplest way to defend the Tosfos Yeshanim, although what Morty was beginning to suggest is my paragraph more interesting. There are a few achronim who hold. There are no Rishonim who would first say they both have the assay of Yibam, but there are a few achronim who hold that. The Pnei Yeshua and our sugya Dafka brings it up in this context.
Would you say a person being kind of people that are, even though they're causing the toilet to over the work of set?
That would be parallel. That's not a valid question, because all the kibbutz is only in the Havamina. In the Maskana, there's a special rule of anything. So, since it's only a havmin there anyway, I could answer by saying, yeah, the havmin you could. And you can't say that's ridiculous, because I'm only talking about a havmin, so, you know, I can say whatever I want. So it could be in a chanami. Yeah, could be. Keep it up, even the father's love. Could be. F sure. You're right, that would be very radical. I understand it would be radical. But it could be, at least in the level of Havamina, because again, this is only Havamina.
I see how the Pasuk shows otherwise. The Pasuk shows that you can't be over on the left to be Makayim and Asay of Kibbutz. He's saying in Karon that you can be Makayim and Asay even though you're causing someone else to be over on the left. So why does the Pasuk change that?
No, because the Pasuk says, the father also can't violate a law. So that shows that in this case, the father can't violate a law for you to keep it out. Okay. And Yeshel Ayin. I hear your time, Yeshel Ayin. Okay. Now, let us go on to the Rashba and the Ramban. Yeah, okay, I'm going to need some space. The Ramban, we'll start with the Ramban. I don't know what I put in the Makor sheet. put the Ramban, right? I listen to Ramban. The Ramban, he starts out and then he ends up. He starts out, I think this is pointed out by, okay, doesn't matter who. He starts out, maybe I'll even read him. I think I opened it up. Says the Ramban, because his Lashon is a little difficult. He starts out that something about a difference between him and her. He says, he absolutely says, since she could be mochal, then it's an anansadi that she wants to be mochal. Even if she says she wants to, we force her to say she doesn't want to. And we assume she means it. Why? Because she's forbidden to him. It's also usher for her. Because whenever the man's not allowed to do a certain bia, the woman's also not allowed to do a certain bia. So the Ramban, at first, right? Ramban Bitchilas Devarav says that we force her to say lo ba'ina because it is an isser for her. We force her to say lo ba'ina because it's an isser for her. And once we force her to say lo ba'ina, it's an anasadi, she means it and he's exempt. That's what he says at first. Here, this first opening of the Ramban is not exactly clear what he means. What do you mean we force her to say lo ba'ina because it's usser for her? Why is it usser for her? Why don't we say asei dochel osaseh for her? Right? That's not 100% clear. Meaning, he's explained, right? The problem is, this explains why the man is usher, because once we force her and she really means it, so obviously he's usher, right? But why is it usher for her in the first place? Biase bidoka her losase. So what does the Ramban really mean? Like, he doesn't explain the real engine that drives it. He's like giving you the second step. The second step is, he's really like saying the second step. What do you mean you teach her to say in lo beina? Maybe she won't say in the beina. Maybe she won't say, maybe Bezdin doesn't use the powers of persuasion. Right? What do you mean you teach her to say lo beina? What if she really wants? The answer is no. We force her to say she doesn't want it because she can't want it because it's usher for her. So great, now the man makes sense. Why is the man not saying the double osase? Because Bezdin forced her to say she doesn't want it. There's no asay. But why does Bezdin say force her? Because it's usher for her. But why is it usher for her? So obviously the Ramban has to be assuming something that he's not telling us, right? There has to be dvar and bego here. So the truth is, the Ramban
he's also saying it's a different case, not the Mamzer's case. That's his shita, right? His case is
just... correct. So, correct, but I'm not sure if that would change it. I'm not sure if that would affect this. So I saw in the footnotes of the shita, I didn't look it up inside. But I saw in the footnote number 30 in the Shita, footnote number 28 in the Shita, quotes from Rav Aaron Cutler, Mishnah's Rav Aaron, who says that really, so the answer is really Ramban means two. This is what Rav Aaron Cutler says in the Mishnah Rabbi Aaron. Really, he means like Tosu Shanim. The man's asay is not Dovah, the woman's lo sase. He's just finishing the thought of the Tosu Shanim. The man's asay is not Dovah, the woman's lo sase. And that's why the woman can't do it. Ah, but what about the man? Well, once the woman can't do it, now we force her to say she doesn't want, because it's usher for her. Once she doesn't want, the man's exempt. So he's really just embellishing the Tosu Shanim a little. What's interesting about this Rav Aaron Cutler is that it's not the Tosu Shanim, not a Das Yachid anymore. According to Rav Aaron Cutler, a lot of Rishonim agree with the Tosu Shanim. That's what Rav Aaron Cutler tried to say. He's just saying it a little indirectly. He's saying that the man's exempt because we force her to say lobeina. We force her to say lobeina because she is usher. Why is she usher? So obviously what he means is she's usher because she doesn't have an assay. You read a little in, then a lot of people agree with Tosfos Yeshanim. Agav, I put it in the bracket, in the Makarchi, Tosfos and Gittin might have more than one opinion about this question of one person assay being doch and another person lobes assay, right? What's his question there? By the guy, remember the case, the guy's a chatzi eved chatzi ben chorin, I think? So he can't marry a shifcha because he's chatzi ben chorin. He can't marry a regular bas chorin because he's chatzi eved, so he can't do her revo. So therefore, the master has to free him. Tosfos asks, why can't he just say assay doch and assay doch prove who is doch los assay? And he's a lot of men, he can marry someone baser. So Tosfos has three answers. Right? One of them was that it's not the same time, because the lav comes before the assay. And one of them was that, not the one that we need right now, but, what were his answers? It's a good question. In this whole case where he freed the Chatzi Eved Chatzi Ben Chorin, why do you have to free him? Because he can't marry anyone. He can marry someone. Peruvu is Dochel Lav. So he says, let him marry a free woman, right, and have kids, and be Mekayim Peruvu, and it'll be Dochel Lav. So he says, either A, it's Esh L'Kayim Shneim, because he could be freed, or the lav and the assay don't come at the same time, or he says, B'didalek assay. Now the assay for revu, that everyone knows, right? We pass like the chum, the assay for revu is only the man, not the woman. The man for revu is not doch the woman's isser. So clearly, at least one of the three answers in Tosfos agrees with Tosfos Yeshanim. It could be that the first two answers don't agree with Tosfos Yeshanim. And the third answer doesn't agree with Tosfos Yeshanim. It's machlokas between the Bali Tosfos, just like here. Yeshlom or the Nira, they're different days in the Bali Tosfos over there. Could be it's a machlokas in Bali Tosfos. And according to Rav Kotler, the Ramban and the Rashba hold like the Tosfos Yeshanim. Let me just point out for a second. Or, theoretically, you could also say it means Eshel Kaim Shneim. Basically, I think this first answer, the Ramban, has to be one of the previous two answers. There's a reason why it's also for the woman. Either for the woman it's Eshel Kaim Shneim because she could say, or for the woman is going to say Dochel Osasek, she doesn't have an assay. Then he's just filling in, well, what about the man? So he's saying, what he's basically saying is, if you take answer two, it works for the woman, but not for the man. The answer is, once we force the woman, the man's exempt. If you take answer one, it works for the woman, not the man. It works for the woman. She has another option. The man doesn't have an option, because it's not up to him. Now the answer is, once the woman has an option, and we force her to say lobing, it works for the man. So he's just filling in. He's just filling in. Or rather, I would say, he's just pointing out that one and two work better for the Isha, but why is the man exempt? And the answer, so he answers, because we force her to say lo be'ina. And he's really just like adding a little embellishment to one of the previous pshatim. It's not really a new pshat. That's the beginning of the Ramban. The end of the Ramban, I think, clearly is a new pshat, though. What's maskana of the Ramban and the Rashba? He says, but I think... One is like Rashi and the Ramban, and two is Tosfos Yeshanim. Meaning he either really means because his assay is not dough for her lav, or he really means because it's Eshel Kaim Shneim for her, she has the option. And then he's just saying, well, and for him, how's it Eshel Kaim Shneim? Well, because when she has the option, we force her, and then he's okay. The end of the Ramban is more interesting. Pirish Acher, mi isal assay klav, lo ashkan assay de kil shavrishus al novat meikara, she yedoch lo sasid lo goli lo rachmana b'chi hay assay. The dummy la assay shenish al bakol lo dachi. So what did the Ramban say here? And the Rashba says the same thing. He says a different shot. He says, what's the point here? The point of our Gemara is, when do you say, Eshra doesn't mean Eshra L'Kaim Shneim. He's saying, when do you say, Eshra Doch L'Osaseh? Eshra is not Eshra L'Kaim Shneim, right? Eshra is Eshra L'Vatlo, right? What does he say? Eshra, in the Gemara, doesn't mean Efshar L'Kayin Shneim.
But Efshar Levatlo.
She says, when do we say Asei Dovel Asasa? When it's a strong Asei. What's a strong Asei? Like Bris Mila. You don't have a choice about Bris Mila. That's a strong Asei. But an Asei that you can just be Michael and it disappears, that is a weak Asei. He says, like a Shem Shavu cult, like an Asei that doesn't apply to all people. He says, and what's the Svara? He says, what the Gemara means is Asei, what's his Lashon? Sheber Shosa Adam Levatlo. Equals an assay cal is a lighter assay. It's not a full obligation. It's a light obligation. And therefore, assay cal ain't no docha lo sasa. Only a strong assay is docha lo sasa. So again, he's working off the Gemara, but don't take the word efshar and read into Rish Lachish Efshar L'Kayim Shteyim. That's not what it means. It's a different usage of efshar. Efshar Levatlo, Biyad Ha'adim Levatlo. An assay that you can be Meichel is not as strong as a regular assay, and therefore it's not strong enough to be Docha Lo Sasa.
Doesn't have to be Meichel to be before.
And exactly, Nafgamina is, that you don't have to be Meichel Fall, meaning that Nafgamina is, Ain't Sorech, Lilamda Lomar Lo Be'ina. She doesn't have to say Lo Be'ina. It's not even Efshar L'Kayim Shteyim. We don't have to teach her, we don't have to force her. No, just the fact that she could say Lo Be'ina is enough to make it a weaker essay.
In the previous chat, why was there a need to force her to say
him? Because for her, she can't do it because it's not say Yiv Yochel Lo Sase. What? I know. But the problem is now, he still has a chiyuv mitzvah asei. How does he get out of his asei? He can't do it, but how does he get out of his asei? This guy being mevatel mitzvah asei. So he's being mevatel mitzvah asei. He's honest for mitzvah asei, but still, I think what Ron Cutler is saying is that since for her it would be usher, but for him, he still has this mitzvah say on his head. We don't want a mitzvah say to be misbatel, even bonus, so we force him to say lo b'ina, so the mitzvah say won't be misbatel. That's definitely what Ryan Cutler means. And if she doesn't say lo b'ina, then he's still chayiv in the assay, right? He's still chayiv in the assay. He's just, you're saying, why does he have to say lo b'ina? Let him still be chayiv in the assay and just not be able to do it. And onus rachmana patre. Why is it onus rachmana patre? Because she doesn't, after all, she can't participate, so onus rachmana patre. So why do we have to force her to say lo be'ina? According to, did you have a different shot in the beginning of the Ramban? Unless you just say that onus rachmana patre is a bidiyevet. Bidiyevet, if you can't do a mitzvah because onus rachmana patre, then it's okay. But lechachila, we should try to get out of that situation. L'chachila, we shouldn't rely on Onus Rachmana Patre.
Your other nafkaminas are going to be whether or not she can change her mind. You also have to take that into account, because if it's more of an absolute rule, then she can't change her mind. If you're going to basically wipe down the Lo Be'ina and say that it's Kal, so then you can okay, so you can change your mind.
Okay. Perhaps. Now, let me just point out the other nafkamina of this is this very radical Shut Rashba, right? What does the Shut Rashba conclude based on this? The other nafkamina, even though it's a chiddush, what do you mean by a chiddush? You don't have to say this nafkamina, but the Rashba does say it, right? Says the Rashba. What does the Rashba learn from our sugya? Just like in our sugya, since she could be mochel, what's his lashon? It says, if anything you could be ogres is if it's already nekar. What does that mean, I think? If I understand correctly? Since it's up to someone whether they want it or not, it's not a real obligation. So what does he conclude based on that? Anyone?
No mevorkim el birkas.
There's no bracha on a mitzvah that someone, it's up to someone to be mochel, because it's not a real obligation. It's not a real obligation. It's just what people want. That's not a real obligation. That's a big finish. Says the Rashba, Lama dikan de'ein mevorkim al mitzvah Shebiyad Adam Le Akro. Okay.
Ain't no chiyug.
Here it really is. Yes, it is the suggestions. Right? So what's he learning? He says, obviously, you don't make a bracha because it's as if it's not a chiyug. He says, it came in the yad lemekre kmekar dami. Now, of course, that doesn't literally mean. But since I could be mochel, it's like, what about a regular case of an ones? The woman could say lo be'ina, but he still has to do the mitzvah. Keep it over. My father could say I don't want anything, but if he didn't say that, if obviously he doesn't literally mean any mitzvah shema could be mochel as if it's machel. I still have to do mitzvahs, right? If I borrow money, I still have to pay you back, even though you could be mochel. I still have to honor my father, even though you could be mochel. And in a regular case, the guy still has to marry the anus, even though she could be mochel. I think what he means is that it's not a real chiyuv. It's not a full chiyuv. It's not beyond someone else. But once it's beyond a person, it's not a full chiyuv. If it's not a full chiyuv, then it's not strong enough to be docha lo sasa. Only full chiyuv are docha lo sasa. I think that's what the Rashba. I think that's what the Rashba means. It's interesting. He says that's why. Everyone knows there's a interesting phenomenon. You ever notice we almost never make brachos on mitzvah in Anlach Avero? Have you ever made a bracha on mitzvah in Anlach Avero? I'm trying to think if I'm missing something. We don't make brachos on mitzvah in Anlach Avero, right?
Yeah.
There's one obscure day in the Rishonah, I forget where I saw it, who says, no, we should. Just because it's not mentioned in Shas, we should still make Shem Kishon B'Solot Mitzvah, well, I'll keep it up, but hey, should make a bracha on every mitzvah. That's clearly not mainstream. None of the Rishonim assumed that. So everyone tried to figure out why we don't make mitzvahs on the brachas on these mitzvah non machavera, right? So some of the more interesting answers are more philosophical, right? Because maybe because some of the mitzvah non machavera are more mitzvah sichlios, and even the goyim do it, and it's logical, and it's our moral sense, and therefore, the Aruch HaShulchan says that, therefore, like, it's not so special, because it doesn't make us different than the goyim, so it's not worthy of a mitzvah. Only things that are more special are worthy of a bracha, sorry. Because, like, special for Jews. Okay, so maybe it's not special. Goyim also should work on their parents, right? Don't even see that, etc. That's one possibility. Another possibility, Sudei Eish says that, well, since the point of an Anlach HaVeiru is, like, care about other people, if we make a bracha, it'll make it look like we're just trying to chop a mitzvah and not caring about other people, so we want to focus on caring about other people and not make it look like we're just robots doing mitzvahs. Okay, these are interesting philosophical ideas. The Rashba here says, in the Rashba, he says no. He says, and also there's a dike in a few Rishonim that maybe it's a technicality. Well, because what if I do it and then they don't want it in the end? Then it would be a bracha batala. But the Rashba here sounds like it's because of the nature of the mitzvah. There are real obligatory mitzvahs, and there are light obligations of mitzvahs. You only make a bracha on real obligations of mitzvahs, not on things that are up to people what they want, that you don't make a bracha on. It's not as serious a mitzvah. Now, I don't know what he means by this. I admit, does he mean quantitatively? Like, it's not a chiyuv, and that's why you don't say it? Or maybe he also means something philosophical. A mitzvah that's up to people is really about your obligations to people, not your obligations to Hashem, and therefore, you know, we don't make a bracha, and therefore it's not doch Hashem's Torah, etc. You know, it's interesting to think about whether he just means it's less of a chiyuv or a different realm of chiyuv. But that's what the Rashba says.
So you can also refuse, right? You're not obligated to do it. I mean, he's standing under them, maybe you can't.
So that is a good question. Obviously, that the fact that we make Birkas Erisin beforehand proves that we're not chosesh for that, that we don't hold that. But there's a sheet to make Birkas Erisin afterwards, and then that would explain that sheet. It also could be Birkas Erisin is not on the mitzvah, it's just on the idea, so that it wouldn't be bracha latola anyway. But
one of Gavarin's hakiras was that the bracha, since brachas are part of the sheet of mitzvah srilos kavona, that even the machlokis atanoim, that even the chafila, the kuleam the mitzvah srilos kavona, and therefore that's only shayach and mitzvah benodam lamachos.
Okay, yeah, there's lots to be said about that. There's that, yeah, I think it says that Taka, and I saw it in a shuk called Avnei Chifetz, so I'm not sure who wrote it. The Avnei Chifetz. It might have been Rav Aaron Levine, that he says that there's mitzvahs don't make kavana by being Adon Lachavero, and that's why we don't say bracha, which is very interesting philosophically. But again, I don't want to get too far afield here. Yesh La'ayin. Yesh l'ayin, does he mean
just less of a chiyuv, which is the simple pshat, or a different type of chiyuv, yesh l'ayin, but we're not going to get too into philosophy now. Okay, these are the basic mahalchim in the, these are the basic mahalchim in the sugya, and I think we could say idach pirusha zilgmor. I'll just point out that, I mean, if we have all the different pshatim, basically you go back and say, now what makes us different than, for example, what makes us different than Yibam? So the first pshat makes us different than Yibam is either Yibam, if you don't do it, you're not becoming brought to the Torah, and here you are. Or then Yibam, even if you don't do it, you're still going against the mitzvah, while here the mitzvah disappears. According to the second pshat, makes it different than Yibam, because you don't have to say that Yibam, they both have an essay, and here only one of them has an essay. And according to the fourth pshat, what makes it... what makes it different than Yibam would be that over here you can just erase the mitzvah. In Yibam, you can't erase the mitzvah. You can choose not to do it, but you can't even vatal the mitzvah of Yibam. You can't say, I decided there's no mitzvah of Yibam. You can just say, I'm not going to be kind of the mitzvah of Yibam, but the mitzvah is still there. If you compare it, for example, to Tzitzis, which is what the Ramban does, then you have to say the same. The first case, in Tzitzis, either Kodr Ochanan, you cannot read Tzitzis, but you wouldn't be doing the Ratzon HaTorah, or you cannot read tzitzis, but the mitzvah still exists. And according to the second pshat, you would say, well, there's only one person, so that's why tzitzis is different. And according to the fourth pshat, the Ramban does say, he says, no, in tzitzis, you can't erase the mitzvah of tzitzis. You cannot have to put it on this garment, but you can't erase the mitzvah of tzitzis. And you can't be vatal the mitzvah of tzitzis, you can just not have that garment. and if you compare it to kibbutz of an aim, so that's what the Tosafot Shanim started with. If you take the first shot, how is it different? Kibbutz of an aim, the father being mochel. So if you take the first shot, you would say, well, Rochon would say, yeah, the father being mochel, but it's not Ritzon HaTorah. Ritzon HaTorah is for the father to be fed, for the father to have what he wants. Or you could say, even if the father's mochel, there's still a mitzvah, he's just not forcing you to give him this particular food. If you take the second shot, so it's clear why it's different kibbutz of an aim. Kibbutz of an aim is a case where it's your say and you're alive, and the father doesn't have a lav. Father's not asking for pork, he's just asking you to go to the cemetery or cook on Shabbos to bring him something. And take their mom's shot, then it's also pretty poshut. Like, you can't, I mean, it's interesting. The Ketzos deals with this. Kibbutz of an aim is a little tricky for the Shut Rashba. In the Ramban, you would say, ah, you could be mevat. After all, can't kibbutz of an aim you also be mevatel? Can you be mevatel mitzvah kibbutz of an aim, the father, if he's vocal at foda foda machel? So, why should kibbutz of an aim have a half a new doch anything? As a matter of fact, the Rashba says kibbutz of an aim is like mosi elisha, there's no bracha. So the Ketzos deals with this. Kibbutz of an aim is a little tricky, meaning all these answers don't really help. Like, until Shunim says, well, as soon as he's with Saba, you're chayiv. But it doesn't matter. He could say, I don't ever want any covet from you and be mevatel the mitzvah. so, kibbutz of an aim is a little tricky. After all, it's just whatever he wants. He could say, there's no mitzvah at all. So, l'chora, what you have to answer is... What?
He could sound mochel in that cover forever, and then tomorrow say I didn't stay.
Ah, okay, good. So, the isn't kibbutz of the aim also efshar levatlo? So, what Rav Chanan, doesn't Rav Chanan discuss this? I think he, maybe not in exactly these words, but that's what he, isn't this maybe kuf mem... no, maybe it's Kuf Mem Aleph. Yeah. All right, it's one of these here. Here it is. Yeah, that's what he wants to say. Rav Chanan suggests no. Even if the Av is Mochel, he can change his mind. So therefore we see it's not really, you can't really be mevatel the assay. Theoretically what you could also say is, or you could say, here's an interesting one, you know, the Yerushalmi says, right, there's a certain case where, who was this, do you remember? Right, one of the Amoraim, his mother wanted to serve him because of Kavod HaTorah, and she didn't want him to be mechavid her, she wanted to be mechavid him, and he says, should I let my mother serve me? That's a different kibbutz of aim. And they said, no, whatever she wants, that's her kavod.
Right? Ritzona zel kvoda. So maybe you could say that the parent can't actually be mochel the mitzvah, just he can say that not serving me is what I want, and Ritzono zehu kvodo. This is an interesting question, which is not for now. Can the father actually be no avshe mochel kvodo kodem mochel? Can he actually be mochel and keep it of aim? Or is that really mochel and keep it of aim? He just, if he doesn't want to be served, then the kibbutz of the aim is to respect his wishes and not serve him. It's an interesting hakira, maybe from a chadish. The father actually can't be mochel kibbutz of the aim. He can just say, I'm making a hechitimtzi, we're not doing anything as a kibbutz of the aim. Or the ktos takes a different approach. The ktos points out that the shut rashva says you don't make a brach and kibbutz of the aim, so it's actual lavatlo. He thinks it is actual lavatlo. The ktos that was in brackets. So, the shut rashva holds kibbutz av va'aim is efshar levatlo. That's what he says. You don't make a brach and kibbutz av aim because it's just like l'siyah l'isha. Hold on. It's a shut rashba. Taka says kibbutz av aim is like l'siyah l'isha. Now we're in trouble. So how come there's a hav vima say dovel osaseh? So I mentioned this before. So the Tos answers that the hav amina de'aseh dochel losaseh is because of a special factor of hukash kvodam lichvod hamakom. This is supposed to say hukash kvodam lichvod hamakom. He says, really don't make any raya from asei dochel osaseh by kibbutz av aim. That's not the normal rules. That's a special case because they're compared. The Torah says the honor of parents is like the honor of Hashem, and that's why it's special and you can't bring a raya from it. Okay, that's the ktos in brackets. Now, I'm not going to get into it now, but I just want to, that's about all I have to say about this Gemara. A side point in the Gemara that Tosus brings up is this long Tosus on Milu Tzaras. Who is here for Yavamos? Charlie and Morty are here for Yavamos? Remember this whole Chakira we had? This whole Sugya? They bring up the issue of Tzitzis. They bring up two issues of Tzitzis. First, they deal with Mila very technically. They point out there's different Lashonos in regards to Mila. What are the two, just, we're not going to go into it, but I just want to point out, the first issue they bring up in tzitzis is, forget about our sunya, just in general tzitzis. How is, right, if I wear a linen garment, a linen talus, I have to put on klayim, because I have to put on tcheles in the old days, or maybe even nowadays, I have to put on tcheles, and tcheles is wool. So Tosfos says, isn't tzitzis always efshel chayim shneim, just don't wear a linen talus? Exceptional kind of shame, just don't wear a linen talus. So Tosa's answer is no, that's not called Efsher. So it's not clear, what does Tosa's mean? Like, why is it not called Efsher to just avoid linen taluses? Like, what does it mean? Like, why not just, forget about our sugya, he's asking in general. Shouldn't you just have to avoid linen taluses? So, just interesting question. Tosa says, shouldn't you have to avoid Big Day Pishtun because of Efshar Lakayim Shnehem? Shouldn't you have to avoid Big Day Pishtun because of Efshar Lakayim Shnehem? So, those answers, answer is that's not called Efsher. It's not exactly clear what Tosas means. What does Tosas mean? Why is it not called Efsher? Just don't wear Big Day Pishtun. Meaning that's Orthodox Jews do a lot stranger things than that. Right? So why is that not called Efsher?
They do strange things, but they shouldn't. Efsher, you're supposed to go around in your normal life. You can wear things, you can do things. You have to be the kind of mitzvahs when you do them. To say, I can't do this.
Okay, good.
That's not how you live in the world.
So it basically seems to be two deus in that kovetz haaretz that's in brackets. One answer is, they're both in the kovetz haaretz, one answer is that
leading normal life, or rather, not leading normal life, is not called efsher. Efsher means once I'm already doing the mitzvah, I can do it one way, the other way, that's efsher l'kayim shneihem. Like over here, the mitzvah will see l'isha. So then I can do this, I can do that, she can say, but it just, we're wearing normal clothing that most people wear in the morning, that's not called efsher. Efsher means within normal life. Right? What's so that, in Mila and Taras, there is no issue of normal life. What do you mean normal life? Mila is not normal life, Taras is not normal life, it's a special halachic situation. In a special halachic situation, you say, well, check if it's efsher a different way or not. Yibam, is it efsher a different way or not? But over here, wearing a normal item of clothing that people wear, that's not called efsher, or that you can't say it's efsher to not lead a normal lifestyle. You have to first have a normal lifestyle and then ask what's efsher.
What's married this guy? Efsher, was he not married?
No, because not people don't necessarily people don't normally go around marrying mamzerises. This is only a special halachic situation that came up because of the onus. It's not a normal life. You wouldn't say he was going to marry her anyway. No, he certainly wasn't going to marry her anyway. She's mamzeris. It's only an issue that came up because of the halacha. When an issue comes up because of the halacha, we ask about efsher. When it's normal life, you don't ask about efsher. Again, this is a fascinating hashkafic perspective on life.
I don't say what's not normal. It's not normal to wear.
In those days, everyone wore linen in the summer and wool in the winter, and that was the normal way to dress.
It's also not normal to put tzitzis on the garment. And we have a mitzvah to put tzitzis on the garment.
Yeah, and if not, once you're in the realm of tzitzis, you can ask what's efsher, what's not efsher. But there's two realms. There's first leading your life and then doing the halacha. In leading your life, you can lead your life. Once you get to the halacha, then you ask whether it's efsher or not. So you're right. Once I have my garment, what kind of tzitzis should I put on? So I say, well, efsher this tzitzis, efsher that tzitzis. But in leading, that's an interesting chiddush. The other option is, I guess maybe there's more than one option. The other option is, and I think that this may be what Rav Chana means in his other daya, and this is what the Pnei Yehoshua means here, is that when did the Torah say you should put on tzitzis? The Torah says if you have a garment, you should put on tzitzis. Meaning, the chi of tzitzis is only chal. Maybe this is what the Pnei Yehoshua meant. I think this is what the Chana meant also. I'm not sure. The chi of tzitzis is only chal if you have if you're wearing a garment. What kind of garments are the stam garments in the Torah? Temer or Pishtan, right? Any beggar in the Torah is Temer or Pishtan. So the Torah says, the Torah says to put tzitzis on a beged pishtan. Right? Because what does the Torah say? If you wear a beged and stand beged in the Torah, this is the Pnei Yehoshua, really. This is the Kovetz Aharos. This is the Pnei Yehoshua. He says, what do you mean? The reason it's not efsher is because the Torah said, if you wear a beged and stand beged in the Torah, tzitzis and pishtan or tzemer, put on tzitzis. So you, what do you mean? Efsher not to wear a beged pishtan. That's not what the Torah said. The Torah said, if you wear a beged pishtan, then put on tzitzis. So it's granted that you're wearing a beged pishtan, not because of normal life, because that's the case of the Torah. Why? Because stam beged, the lashon haTorah, equals tzemer o pishtan, or pishtim in biblical Hebrew. So, or in the Chumash at least. So he's saying it's a little different. Chana says, one answer, because normal life is to wear linen garment. Therefore, it's not extra to not be normal. The answer says, it's not normal life. The Torah is talking about a guy wearing a linen garment. So he's extra not to wear a linen garment. But the Torah is talking about a guy who does wear a linen garment. So you can't call it extra to go against what the Torah says. What you're basically saying is, what you're saying in different words is, this is not an application of Seidot HaLos HaSed. This is Mefurish in the exact pasuk that it's talking about. Yeah. That's fine. The Gemara Bava says it is Mefurish, and we learn from there to other cases of Seidot HaLos HaSed in Echnami. Meaning, it's the source of Seidot HaLos HaSed, not a result of Seidot HaLos HaSed. What you're saying is a Gemara Bava. In Echnami. You're right. The Rav Chana has another formulation there also, which I'm not sure exactly what he means. Maybe I'm not sure if he means the same thing or not. But okay, let's maybe mean something slightly different. He says, no. each beged is chayiv in tzitzis, right? You don't have to be Rav Scheinberg to know, what if I wear many talisim? I'm chayiv tzitzis in all of them. You don't have to wear many talisim, right? But if a guy decides to wear four talisim, he's very cold, he has to put tzitzis in all of them. You don't raise them. If I'm very cold and I wear eight sheets, I have to put tzitzis on all eight of them. Right? And therefore what? It's not efshar lekayim shnehem by not wearing a talis shel pishton, because I will miss out on the assay of that talis. Meaning, since it's not that a person has to wear tzitzis, each beged has to have tzitzis, then what do you mean? Efshar lekayim shnehem, don't wear linen. But based on what he started with, which is that it's worth being double osasa just to do an assay, says, what do you mean? If I won't wear linen, let's say I have five sheets in my house. Five wool ones and five linen ones. Or I have one wool talus and one linen talus. I cannot wear the linen talus and just do the assay of the wool talus. Then I'll miss out on the second assay of also putting tzitzis on the linen talus. So you can't go efshar lekayim. If a guy had to wear one tzitzis, you'd say efshar lekayim shnehem, only wear wool, not linen. Since you have to wear tzitzis for every garment, then it's not efshar lekayim shnehem, because if you don't wear a linen garment, you're missing out on the assay of that garment, and therefore it's not efshar lekayim shnehem. Meaning, if I could do less of the mitzvahs instead of more of the mitzvahs, that's not called efshar lekayim shnehem.
Is that really cool? I mean, if you're already wearing tzitzis, are you mevatel it by not wearing?
Yes.
Then you should.
You're not mevatel
it. What image you possibly can?
No. It's an interesting question. If so, then why shouldn't people wear as many tzitzis as they can? If they're all chatmor mitzvahs, that is a fascinating question. Okay, I'll leave that with Sarah. It's a good question. Okay, now, the one other thing Tosfos mentions here, which is really a big inyan, which is this very strange Gemara. Tosfos, in the middle of his discussion of, this is, you'll remember from Yavamos, he discussed this very strange Gemara. What does the Gemara say? Migo. Since I can, what's the real case of efshar lekayim shnehem? What's the real case of efshar lekayim shnehem? Is if I have a linen garment, I have to put wool. Why do I have to put wool strings? Because tchilas has to be wool. Migo that I can put wool strings on linen garments, I can put linen strings on wool garments, even though it's not necessary. And then the Gemara continues a little. It seems to be, Tosfos accepts this Gemara. The Gemara says that, through this principle of Migo, that just like I can put wool strings on a linen garment, I can put linen strings on a wool garment. And therefore, Tosfos says, I can put two linen strings on a wool garment. Just like I have to put two wool strings on a linen garment, I can put two linen strings on a wool garment. Of course, only in the days of Tchelas. Don't try this at home nowadays. Even if you were tchilas, it's not a vadek. So, this is very strange, and this is the Gemara. The Gemara says that migo dechute pishute tsemer potrin bishel pishtan, meaning the garb de pishtan, chute pishtan potrim bishel tsemer. And just like over there, it's how many strings? Two. Likewise here, it's two. Okay, what's strange about this is that it's efshar lekayim shnehem. Hold on. What do you mean I can put linen strings on a wool garment? Efshar lekayim shnehem. In a wool garment, I can put wool strings. Doesn't this go into efshar lekayim shnehem? So I just want to point out, the Rosh Hashanah pointed out there's another day, there are actually two other days. There are three days that are shown about how to address this Gemara. And this is chazar of like a whole shir for Yevamos in 30 seconds. What are the three days in Rishonim? One day is the Rambam. He seems to reject this Gemara. The Rambam never brings down this Gemara. The Pashut Pshat Rambam, he rejects this Gemara. He thinks we don't populate this Gemara. This Gemara thought that you could be violent lavim even when not necessary. But we possibly can't because efshar lekayim shnehem. Okay. Rav Chana here quotes the Rambam. So, okay, the Rambam rejects this Gemara. Fine, he says machlok samarav, and we don't possibly like it. The Rashba in Yevamos, as quoted in Rav Chana here, he makes an okimta. What's the okimta? The okimta is, and the, okay, he's going to have to work out the numbers a little differently. That's not important for now. The okimta is, you're in a town where you can't find any wool strings.
You know when you can put pishtan on your wool garment? If you can't find wool strings, then it's eif shel kain shneim. He just assumes eif shel kain shneim is not to a man in general, but in your particular case.
You can't find
the right, okay, could be also okimta that you can't find wool strings. That's the okimta that you can't find wool strings. Okay, in which case it's eif shel kain shneim. I have a wool garment, how am I going to put tzitzit? I can't find any wool strings. So therefore, I have to put on linen strings, but it doesn't mean in general it's mutter. Tosos obviously disagrees with the Rambam. He thinks he passed like it. Obviously disagrees with the Rashba. It's clear he thinks even when you have another option, it's mutter. So the third option is Rabbi Tam and Menachos. He says, Klein Betzitzis is really a little bit of a hutra through Migo, meaning it starts out as Bechuya. Really, it's only when necessary. But once we know that in some cases it's dechuya when necessary, it becomes different than regular say dochalosase and becomes chotra. He seems to assume it's a gzeiras hakasav of, you know, losa bashatnez gedilim tasalach, that shatnez is chotra in tzitzis, and therefore you don't apply the rule of efshel l'kayim shneim mutav. And this is l'shitase. We're not getting into this, but what does Rabbi Tam hold l'shitase? He holds l'shitase that a woman's also allowed to wear klayim and tzitzis, even though she's not mitzvah in the assay, right, against the Rambam. A woman's also allowed to wear klayim and tzitzis because it's hutra. Now, and not only that, he holds, this is very complicated in the Gemara, I'm not going to get into it, it's a very complicated formulation, the Rambam's old yards I share about it, you can read over Shabbos. He holds even at night you're allowed to wear klayim and tzitzis. Okay, how that works out is very complex. But why? Because it's hutra! Who cares if there's no tzitzit at night? It's hutra. So Rabbeinu Tam really seems to make a hutra out of this, and that's a big fetish, and our Tosos seems to be following him. There's a certain degree, at least two strings worth. Tosos goes in two strings. Once it's hutra, it might only be hutra on some strings. Tosos says, there's some rule of Migo which makes client tzitzit as hutra. Well, no, the other Rishonim had trouble with this, and they either rejected this Gemara or made no kint in this Gemara. Okay, those are the 3 days.
Can you just call Rabbeinu Tam again?
Yes, just review. 3 days. Am I allowed to put klayim on tzitzis unnecessarily? If I have a wool garment, can I put linen strings unnecessarily? Rambam says, no, ignore that Gemara, we don't pass like it. The Rashba says, no, you can't put it unnecessarily. You can only put it if it's necessary. Why is it necessary to put linen strings on my wool garment? Ah, if there's no wool strings in your town. And Rabbi Natan Tosos, right here, following Rabbi Natan, mostly Tosos Menachos, has the stronger, sharper formulation, says, no, mamish, you're allowed to have klayim tzitzis unnecessarily against the rule of Efshel Kayim Shneim Mutav. If I have, right now I'm wearing wool talis, I can, talis cotton, I can put linen strings on it, at least if it's the days of Tcheles, I can put linen strings on it, even totally unnecessarily. Why? He seems to be of the opinion that klayim tzitzis is not just a regular seidoh losase, it's a special rule of hutra. That, right, hutra means it's mutter even when not necessary. That the hefta of klayim and tzitzis is a hefta gomer and is not even called klayim. The Chazon Ish disagrees that it has a different way of explaining Tosfos. We're not getting into that now. And what I was saying to Rabbeinu Tam is that Rabbeinu Tam is l'shitase in three things. One, over here, he says you can put linen on a wool garment unnecessarily. Two, he says a woman can also wear klayim and tzitzis, even though it's not necessary because she doesn't have to wear tzitzis. Again, this is before feminism. He's dealing with Tzad Klayim. I'm not saying he would say he could be a feminist. I'm just saying Tzad Klayim it would be mutter. The Tzad feminist, everyone can decide on their own whether it's us or a chiyuv. And three, he says even at night you can wear Klayim on tzitzis, even though there's no mitzvah. Complicate exactly what he means. Look in the Rav's Yotzei Shia.
Maybe
okay. No, he definitely didn't, because he says it's only because of my word of hutra. Okay. Now, we did not completely finish our Makora sheet, but let's at least go a little further. The next Mishnah is pretty, it's not a lot of lumdish. John, when you have a chance. So let's just run through the next Mishnah. Yeso Mishnah is Arsim Nizgarsha. An orphan girl who was betrothed and divorced. Rabbi Elazar Amar Onis Chayiv Mevatzel Pater. Onis is Chayiv Mevatzel Pater. What's the Svara? Obviously the Svara is Mechila. Onis is Chayiv because there's no Mechila. But Mevatzel, she was Mochel, so it's Pater. Amra Amar Chana Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Elazar Mishitas Rabbi Akiva Rabbi Amra. Why do Rabbi Elazar say this? He's following his Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, the Mishnah version. Damar Yeshla Knas Knas La'atzel says, Narashin is Arshin is Garshin. Remember, Rabbi Akiva the Brisa says the Knas goes to her father. Then Mechila wouldn't help. The father was a Bochel. Rabbi Yosef says there is no Knas. There is no Knas, and even the onus is Pater. No, he's obviously following his Rebbe. Rekivu says, the knas goes to her, and that's why onus is chayav, but fata is potter, because it's her knas, and she was mochel, she agreed. Mimai, how do we know? Yisoma, realize her onus chayav and fata potter, Yisoma pshita. Yisoma, obviously, she had no father, so it's her money, so she was mochel. It doesn't mean an orphan who was Miss Arsim Nisgarsha. An orphan, even any orphan girl, it's her money, she has the right to be Mochel. It means, and Miss Arsim Nisgarsha is like Yisoma, my Yisoma La'atma, just like Yisoma has a Knas that goes to her, likewise, Narsim Nisgarsha has a Knas and goes to her. Amr Zir, Rabbi Shila, Rabbi Nunasava, Amr Abadab, Rabbi Rab, Halach, Rabbi Yalozar. That's how we know the Halach is like Rabbi Kiva the Mishnah earlier. He says he is the most fortunate, the most praiseworthy of the Chachamim, and that's why he passed like him. So we show the debate, is it just because he said the halacha correctly, is it because he had a nice view in the Mishnah? Okay, we're not getting to that now. Two technical details that I want to get into. I don't really have any lumdas now. There's lots of lumdas here, but we've said it already in other sugyas. So just two, or three, technical details, whatever we can fit into. 5 minutes.
Six minutes.
Okay, great. 6 minutes. We can do each one. First question is, what does the Mishnah mean? Yisoma shenis arsa vinis garsha. How many cases is that in the Mishnah? How many cases is it? Is that one case or two cases? Right? Clearly, there's some having to meet a Yisoma who was also Miss Arsim Nisgarsha. That's not true, because the Yisoma alone is Pshita. So, is how many cases are in Mishnah? So, that's a big machlokas, right, as we know. the Ran, both in the Chidushim on the Rif, and the Rashi on the Gemara. Ran, Rashi on the Gemara says it's one case. What's the one case? The one case means, it means a nara shenis arsa vinisgarsha vehi yisoma b'chaye ha'av. Yisoma b'chaye ha'av means she's like Yisoma, she's independent even though her father's alive. It means one case. Tosos is pretty clear, and the Tosos Rid, and the Meiri is pretty clear. Tosos, the Rid, the Meiri is very clear. And Rashi on the Mishnah says two cases. What are the two cases? A Yisoma or a Nara Shenis Arsa Vinis Garsha. So there are two ways to read the Mishnah. Either it means a quote-unquote Yisoma, who's really not a Yisoma, just as Arsim Nisgarsha was like a Yisoma, or it means a Yisoma is one case, and another case is not Arsim Nisgarsha. Of course, it's a little funny that Rashi sows himself, and I don't really have a great explanation for why he expressed himself that way. It is a confusing way to express himself, but what the Ritva says based on Rashi, he says Rashi can't be sows himself, it's either one case or two cases, so Rashi's really combining the two pshatim. What Rashi means is, it's two cases, but what are the two cases? Yisoma or Nara Shenis Arsa Vinis Garsha Vaharehi Yisoma Bechaye Ha'av. That's why Rashi says both things. He says Yisoma is a different case and it's the same case. Because he means what the Mishnah said, Yisoma or Nis Arsa Nis Garsha is also like a Yisoma. Okay, it's a little bit dachuk. Why Rashi couldn't have said that clearer if that's what he meant. But Lamaisa, I don't have anything better to say. If someone does, now's your chance. Either it's one case and just she's called Ke'ilu a virtual Yisoma, or it's two cases of Yisoma, or someone else, or it's two cases and they're both called Yisoma. That's what the Ritva says in Rashi. Either way, it doesn't change the halacha. It's just a matter of technically how you interpret the Mishnah. The other thing I wanted to point out was that there is a, the Rambam does bring down our Mishnah, right? The English one tells you in Perek Aleph what a test. But in Beis Yudalad, there's a funny Rambam. In Beis Yudalad, what does the Rambam say in Hilchas Nara? Beis Yudalad, he says, the Dalad Dvarim Shel Mifate, Shel Ones, or the Gimel Dvarim Shel Mifate, there Shel Av, right? But he says, what he says, Im ein la'av harei heim shel atzma. This is a little funny, not because of a scarce, it is scarce, based on regular soma. What do you mean if there's no av, they go to her? If there's no av, she was mochel. The mafatzas go to her. So here's the question. Question is, this is what bothered the Meiri and everyone else. Question is, but the mafute was mocheles. That's our Mishnah. Meaning, according to Pshatin B and C, that's in our Mishnah, a Yisom was mocheles. And even according to Pshat A, it's not in our Mishnah, but it's assumed by our Mishnah. If someone who's like Yisom was mochel, then obviously Yisom was mocheles. So here we have three technical answers. I don't have any big lumdas. The Meiri says, it's Meiri, it doesn't really mean she has no father. Shehaya la'av umeis kodem hamada b'din. Right? I think that was even on the Makoros, maybe. V'shem apirshad v'r, shemeis ha'av achar meisa kodem hamada b'din. And that's why she wasn't mochel, because at the time it wasn't hers to be mochel. The Mishnah points out that's an impossible shot in the Rambam. Why? Because in the Halach Tesvav, he says, what would be if she had a father and he died before hamada b'din? Obviously, it's not the case of Halach Tesvav. So this is very questionable, because that's halacha tesvav. That's obviously not halacha yudalid. So the Mishnah Melech says rak banusa. When it talks about how she has no father, goes to her, and then only the anusa, not the mafuta. Right? Basically, I'll fill in the blanks. Harei hein shel av. That was in both. Both the mafuta and the anusa goes to the father if she has a father. If she's an orphan, only the anusa goes to her, not the mafuta. I thought you could say a third shot. Again, not any lumbus, but Nerolinius Daiti, you could say that Mairi af b'mafuta if she's a katana. Maybe it's even a mafuta if she's a katana. A katana can't be mochel. Our Mishnah's talking about a nara. It doesn't say the word Nara, but our mission, our whole mission is about Nara until the Memon Beis. Our whole parish is about Nara. Nara, right? Elu Naras. Maybe you could say, in a Ketana, there's no Mechila. That's it. And two assumptions of things we've... One assumption is that, by a Ketana, there's such thing as Pitoy. Right? You might think that a Ketana is only Onus. There is no Pitoy. But no problem. The Ram of Shita, called Tarkula, is that there is Pitoy by a Ketana. He even thinks that an 11-year-old wife who commits adultery is forbidden to her husband, because there is such thing as Ratzon by a Ketana. Okay, and also you have to assume a katana can't be mochel. Remember, we saw that Tosfos in the Rashba, whether Pu'utos can be mochel, but if you make certain assumptions, it works. We're not going to get into it now. The last thing I wanted to mention in this Mishnah, which is also things we've seen already, is what is our Mishnah talking about? Is our Mishnah talking about knas, or talking about both subagam, or talking about both? What's our Mishnah talking about? So, what's our Mishnah talking about? What is she mochel? What is the mafate potter from in our Mishnah? So here we have a three-way machlokas. The one answer that can't be is nothing, because the Mishnah says he's potter, right? So one opinion is one day in the Yerushalmi. And the Ramban, in the name of Tosos, even though that not the Maskat of our Tosos, says only Boshes Upagan. Why is he not Potter from Knas? Remember the opinion one day in the Shalmi? But not Knas, why not? What is one day a hold, even though it's not the Maskat of Tosos and mainstream in the Bavli? Exactly, because can't be mochel because it's not chal until hamada b'din. Remember that machlokas in the Rishalmi is a knas meikara chayav or later chayav. If the knas doesn't exist till hamada b'din, you can't be mochel it. So what's the mechila bullshit of begam? Okay. The second opinion, look at Rashi, says Rashi, dekem nisomu v'knas shalahi v'achilta. He only mentions knas, not bullshit of begam. Now, I don't know if that's a strong diuk or a weak diuk, but diuk in Rashi, and this is the opinion of, this is likewise the opinion of the Ramban who Beit Midrasho as well, everyone but Tosos, says only knas legamri lehefech. Why can't you mochel bosh to begam? Remember what they hold? Remember that rush? Why do they hold only knas, not bosh to begam? The diak and Rashi, I'm not sure if I'm so convinced. Maybe the main part of the paragraph is knas. The redayak and Rashi, could be the redayak and Rashi, the Rambam, because what did they hold? Because nara shenis arsa vinis garsha knasa liatzma avoboshta upagama leaviha. Right? Because they hold that the gzeras akasa, that nara shenis arsa vinis garsha, it goes to herself, is only by knas. The boshta gam goes to the father, and the father was a mochel, right? And the father wasn't mochel. The third opinion is Tosos and the Rush. I don't mean right here all the time. I mean that we've seen them. Says no, everything. Knas plus Boshe Subagam. Why? Because they hold that, remember this is the opinion of Tosos and the Rush in a few places, that Boshe Subagam always belongs to whomever Knas belongs to through the Hekesh. Therefore, since the Knas goes to her, the Boshe Begam goes to her, and she was Mochel both of them. So there are three ways, I'm not getting into this, it's sugyas that we've dealt with and we're going to come back to, three ways to read our Mishnah. What is the Mefata Pater from? One way is the Yushalmi and not mainstream the Bavli at all, because it sounds the Bavli like you can't be Mochel. Remember, there are different Siluk, Mechila, Mazik, Rishus, is that only Boshe Begam. But Knas, it's too early to be Mochel. Or most Yishonim say, no, only Knas. Boshe Begam isn't hers to be Mochel, it's the father's. But according to Tosfos and the Rush, our mission is referring to everything. She can be Mochel at Knas and the Boshe Begam because Narish and Asarish and Nisgarsha, that was the Machlokas on earlier on the mission, Narish and Asarish and Nisgarsha, right? Boshe Begam al Aviha versus Nara. The Chuli Boshta Upagama La'atzma, that was the opinion of Tosos and the Rush. Okay, we will not get on to the next mission of Boshas yet. If we had another week, that would be even better because we could finish up really. The end of Daf Mem is the main sugyas of Onus U'Mefata. The end of Daf Aleph is more general Knasin Yonim and Bava Kama Dikin Yonim. But we're not going to be able to do that yet. We'll do it later, Mitzvah Hashem. So we're going to break now. If we recall, we're going to break now for Chazara till the first, right? Till the first. The first will be the second Bechin of the year. The reason I'm staggering this way is because of the Halacha Bechin is. And then we'll pick up again on the second for another 2 weeks, and we will try our mindies to finish the parak, and we'll finish whatever we can finish in the parak. You know, we're going to need, we'll finish whatever we can finish in the parak. We will try our best. And I think we'll somehow. So the next year will be on Thursday the 4th. Okay? And the Makoros will come out Tuesday the 2nd. Shia Thursday the 4th. And meanwhile, everyone is encouraged to take the Bechina, whether they are a officially registered student or not. There's no additional charge for taking the Bechina. So, and if not, at least everyone's encouraged to come out.